What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Matt Biamonte podcast. Flying solo today, and today I'm going to talk about the NBA playoffs. And I won't lie, I don't know if you heard last week's episode with Kyle Bruderer, but I just did not watch a lot of NBA basketball this year. Some of that was due to the fact that my team, the Lakers, have been borderline unwatchable the past 2 years with Russell Westbrook. That was really hard to watch, and I lost some interest from that for sure. But post-trade deadline, I got a little more interested in the NBA. And then these playoffs have just been unbelievable. So there have been so many great series. Milwaukee is up 3-1, they're trailing 3-1. Miami, who did not even look good in the play-in game, has the Bucks on the brink. Then you've got the Western Conference, which has just been sensational. I don't know how the Clippers are even doing it without Kawhi and Paul George. They'll probably lose later tonight. I'm recording this on Tuesday, April 25th at 8 in the morning, Mountain West time. So maybe by the time you hear this, the Suns will have moved on from the Clippers. But I really want to focus on what I think have been the two most interesting series: the Warriors and the Kings, the Lakers and the Grizzlies. We're going to do that next here on the Matt Biamonte podcast. Don't go away. We'll discuss those playoff series next. You're probably going to think I'm going to start with the Lakers since I'm a Lakers fan, but actually, I think without a doubt, the best series in the NBA playoffs up to this point has been the Warriors and the Kings. And breaking news yesterday, ahead of Game 5, just devastating news for Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox, broken finger on his shooting hand. I think maybe some people saw that news and thought, oh, it's on his left hand, he can make do. No, he's a left-handed player. So that's on the shooting hand. That's why it's so difficult of news for Sacramento. He's listed as doubtful ahead of Game 5 on Wednesday, the 26th in Sacramento. I would imagine he's going to give it a go. I just can't imagine he's going to be very effective. And the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that injury was, you know, maybe he could play through it. And, you know, one player who had maybe not the same type of injury, but it was on a shooting hand and it did affect his play, was Kobe Bryant in their last title run when they beat the Boston Celtics. He had to wear a soft cast on his right index finger for the majority of that season. And he had to relearn how to shoot to not put a lot of pressure on that index finger. And it ended up working out. He wasn't very efficient throughout the season. And I think you pointed at Game 7 when they beat Boston in 2010, 2011. Where he did not shoot the ball well at all. He did rebound the ball well, but clearly he was affected that season by the injury to his right index finger. And I thought, well, Kobe was really tough. He could play through pain. He figured it out. Maybe Fox can. And then I remembered, wait a minute, Kobe Bryant sustained that injury in December. He had 5 months of regular season and then all of the playoffs to figure out how to play with that. It's just not a fair expectation to expect Fox, who suffered that injury late in Game 4, to then turn around and figure it out. So just a bummer that the Kings are on the brink. They're reeling a little bit, and then their best player, who has been, you know, one of the three best players in the playoffs. Two of the three best players in the playoffs so far have been in this series, and Steph Curry and De'Aaron Fox. And Fox going down. Hey, we'll see. Great players sometimes find a way to do the impossible, and perhaps that's the case for De'Aaron Fox. I hope it is, because I want that series to go 7 games. I'm having a blast. I'm rooting for the Warriors. Steph Curry, I think, is my favorite player in the NBA right now. I just love watching him play. He has defied the odds in terms of size to become one of the great players in the history of the NBA. It's too soon, I think, to put a number on that, but what he's able to do is unbelievable. Dare I say he may be the most entertaining player in the history of the NBA. Him and Magic Johnson, I think, are atop that list just in their must-see TV their wow ability, they are absolutely insane. But Curry and Fox have just been putting on a show in this playoffs, and I'm bummed out that Fox is injured, because it certainly changes the series. There's no doubt about that. I think what has made this series so interesting is you're seeing the impact not only of star players. I think you're seeing the impact of great coaching. I think you're seeing the impact of role players, specifically for Golden State in games 3 and 4. Game 3 when they missed Draymond. Guys like Moses Moody coming off the bench and making shots. Like, there's clearly been a shift in the league. I've noticed this. And I think it's absolutely critical if you want to have any chance of being a finals contender. You got to have good role players. And maybe that's always been the case, but I felt like for a long time there was this idea in the league that you had to have at least 2 superstars, which is probably still true. But then there was it started with the Miami Heat when LeBron went to Miami. There was this notion that, hey, you got to have 3 stars. Forget the bench, forget the role players, max out 3 stars, and then just veteran minimum around them, and you'll go to the finals. Lakers tried to do this a couple times. They tried to do it with Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. That did not pan out. Tried to do it again with Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. That did not pan out. There's numerous other examples where Brooklyn is a great example. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. That did not pan out. That's just not the league anymore. I think the league has become, you got to have 2 great players, 2 guys in the top 20, preferably top 15. And then you got to surround them with a great supporting cast. And if you do that, you're going to be a playoff team with a chance, if things go your way. You got to stay healthy, as the Kings have learned. But the teams that are, I think, really threatening right now to win a title this year, they have a great supporting cast. And that's what, I don't want to dip into the Lakers too quickly here, but it's all about the supporting cast right now in the league. Boston has a good supporting cast. Milwaukee has a good supporting cast, even though they're down 3-1 to Miami. I wouldn't write them off just yet. I mean, Jimmy Butler did pour in 56. If that's going to happen, they're going to win. But the Kings and Warriors series have shown just how valuable it is to have a Keegan Murray, even though in a loss, Murray, the rookie from Iowa, played great basketball in Game 4, provided a much-needed lift. And look, in Game 4 for Golden State, it wasn't just the Steph Curry show. Draymond Green, he's not a star player anymore. He was excellent defensively in that game. They've gotten contributions from Kevon Looney. So how you surround those guys is absolutely critical. When I say those guys, I'm talking all-star play. Steph Curry, De'Aaron Fox, Klay Thompson, Domantas Sabonis. How you surround those guys is critical. But I think the other element that has made the Kings-Warriors series so fun, it's something I've really come to love about the Warriors over the past 10 years, and the Kings, I think, have duplicated that with Mike Brown. And look, credit to him, unanimous Coach of the Year. This is his 3rd stop, if memory serves me right. Cleveland, LA, then he spent some time with the Warriors, and now he's back in Sacramento as a head coach. They play fun basketball, like up and down, shooting threes, move the basketball, unselfish, pick and roll. It is fun basketball to watch. And as I've gotten older and as time has become more valuable, when I was a single guy in my 20s, I watched every Laker game. They were scoring in the 80s sometimes, and I didn't care. That was the team I loved. And there wasn't a lot of competing priorities. Now, and I represent, I think, the largest demographic of sports fans. I'm in my mid-30s. I'm married. I have 2 kids. Time is precious. You got to earn my time. Because I got to spend time with the kids. I got to spend time with the wife. I got to do chores around the house. I've got multiple jobs. Like, the laundry list is long. And so if I'm going to give you that precious time, it's got to be worth it. And the Warriors and Kings are playing a style of basketball that is must-see TV. You want to watch it. Your wives, who don't care that much about sports, want to watch it. So the way you play has become more important than ever in a society where you've got iPhones, you've got like a ridiculous laundry list of streaming options that like you can't even watch all the shows that people recommend you. How do you fit it all in? You got to be better than Kaleidoscope on Netflix. You got to be better than Ted Lasso, which is hard to do. I love Ted Lasso, but you have to be better than those. And the Warriors and Kings are playing a type of basketball that I enjoy watching. It's a lot of fun. It's high drama. There's great shot making. So I'm looking forward to the rest of this series. I think that De'Aaron Fox, I might have picked the Warriors anyways. I think you're starting to see in some of these late game situations that the Warriors' experience is really adding up. Even in game two, which the Warriors had chances to win in Sacramento, Draymond behaves himself. They probably win that game. So I like the Warriors even more so now that Fox is injured. I hope he can play. I want him to be effective. What a horrible way to end a phenomenal season. And hope he's okay. But that series has just been so much fun to watch. It's a shame that one of these teams is going to bow out in round one. And look, that's just the way it is. The regular season does matter, even though a lot of teams will tell you, you know, we'll rest players, we'll load manage. If the Warriors had cared a little bit more about road games this year, they wouldn't be a sixth seed. And that's how it is. But they caught a big break with Fox going down. Let's shift to the Lakers. I touched on this just a moment ago. They've got LeBron James. He's still a top 15 player. AD is certainly capable of being a top 15 player if he can stay healthy for long enough. But the biggest difference in this team, and the reason they are up 3-1 after a overtime victory last night against the Grizzlies, is not LeBron. It's not AD. It is Rui Hachimura. It is Austin Reeves. D'Angelo had a good game. He has not been great in the playoffs, but he had a key stretch in the fourth quarter. They've gotten contributions from Troy Brown, Dennis Schroeder. They are illustrating my previous point, which is role players, role players, role players. You have to have them. LeBron was great with 22 and 20, and he made clutch plays, but they're not in the game without Reeves, without D'Angelo making plays, without Rui, who's been great off the bench. So I just hope that the Lakers' future has been changed a little bit, because I think Rob Pelinka has been clear. We want to keep flexibility. We want to keep an eye on the future for another star. Maybe we have cap space for Kyrie Irving. Abandon the cap space model. Re-sign Reeves to what you can. If you can convince him to take the maximum deal they can offer, that would be a slam dunk. I don't know if they can. That would be 4 years and 50-some-odd million dollars. He could probably command more on the open market. And the Lakers have the right to match, but maybe you can play this loyalty card that says, hey, we're going to max you out at 4 years, 51, and we'll throw in maybe a player option for year four that you can decline, and then we can pay you more. And maybe he takes that because he's undrafted. That would be life-changing money to go from undrafted to $50 million guaranteed. But you cannot mess around with Reeves like they did with Caruso. You got to bring back Rui Hachimura. He's a free agent as well. He's super young. He has a ridiculous skill set. He's like 6'9", can defend to most positions. He's shooting the three at a high clip. He can rebound. He's an ascending player. You got to bring him back. D'Lo, that one is up in the air. As a fan, I'm definitely not against bringing him back, but the price has to be right. Maybe you can get him on a two-year, I don't know, $50 or $60 million deal. Definitely don't want to sign him to a four-year max. He's not a max player, and if that's what he wants, then he'll have to hit the road. But you got to keep some of these role players intact. Troy Brown, another guy ascending, because those are the guys that make the difference on having a chance of winning it all and not. Of course, you got to have the stars. You can't just have a team of role players. You got to have some stars, but I would much rather have what the Lakers have now, which is two stars, good supporting cast, versus dump the supporting cast, bring in a Kyrie, bring in a somebody, and then it's what we just saw with Westbrook, LeBron, and AD. So it's been a lot of fun watching this young group develop around AD and LeBron James. And they're up 3-1 against the Memphis team that is by no means at full strength. They are highly unlikable, including John Morant. He is fun. He is a high flyer. He's flashy, but he complains just as much as the rest of the upper echelon of stars, including the LeBrons of the world. And Dylan Brooks, Dylan Brooks is one of a kind. I cannot believe he feels like a victim after all the stunts that he has pulled throughout his career. But this is what makes the playoffs so much fun, is you follow a team, you follow a player, they get into a series, one guy does something you don't like, you instantly hate them, and that's maybe too strong of a word, strongly dislike them, and you are, it just adds to the fun. So this has been just an outstanding round of NBA playoffs, and I think going forward, I kind of hope that Milwaukee gets back into it. No offense to Miami. I don't know if I want to see Miami in the next round, especially with Hero breaking his hand, but there are some great matchups coming. Could be Warriors-Lakers in round two. Think about that. LeBron and Steph back together. That would be an unbelievable playoff series. I would root for the Lakers, I think, because that's where I've been a fan my whole life. But I have really, like I said earlier, I've really enjoyed the way the Warriors play. So I think that's like a win-win series for me, where I want the Lakers to win, but if they can't beat the Warriors and Steph goes on to the Western Conference Finals, I'm cool with that too. So it's been a great NBA playoffs. It was a bad regular season. Not a lot of juice, not a lot of storylines, but they have made up for it and more here in the playoffs. I'm having a blast. So here you go. There's some thoughts on the Warriors and Lakers, and kind of what that means for what I think the NBA should become. If you're a fan of a certain team, what you should be rooting for, get the supporting cast around the stars. Got to have the stars, but get the supporting cast as well. So to all of you who subscribe and listen, greatly appreciate it. I know I'm not regular enough, but I'm trying with all the competing priorities that I have. So thanks for listening. Until next time, take care. Have a great week.